right. So we have been in the book of Exodus for the past weeks. We have started some time ago. And last week, we started a section in the book which covers the 10 plagues. And last week, Pastor Kuz presented the first plague. And today, we will start and seeing the second and also the third plague, which is in chapter 8 from verses 1 to 19. Overall, as we heard last week, these 10 plagues, they work together. They are integrated and they create a larger narrative that centers in the release of the people of Israel in Egypt. And the first 9 is like a building up to the last plague who stands alone, which is the death of the firstborn. And for that, we have then chapter 12, which will deal with the Passover, which our brother Trad will be privileged also to share with us. But as I say, today we are in chapter 8, verses 1 to 19, and we will be dealing with the second and the third plague. And we titled the message of today, God's Glory in and Through Judgment. God's Glory in and Through Judgment. Will you stand with me as we read Exodus chapter 8 from verses 1 to verses 19? That says the word of God. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me.' But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile will swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the house of your servants and your people and into the ovens and your kneading bowls. The frog shall come up on you and on your people and on all your servants." And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, 'Stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hands over the waters of Egypt, and the frog came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people. I will let your people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' Moses said to Pharaoh, 'Be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile.' He said, 'Tomorrow,' Moses said, 'be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and from your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile.' So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, He hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in the whole land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on men and beasts, and all the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret art to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on men and beasts. Then the magician says to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord said. You may be seated. Father, it is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we once again plead with you. Speak to us this afternoon. Your children are here, O Lord, to listen to you. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you. Give me clear thoughts and clear words to communicate your word faithfully to my brothers and sisters, and that we may receive your word not as a word of man, but as your word which is able to give us an inheritance among the saints, and which is also able to build us up so that we may come to the knowledge of the truth. May Jesus Christ be glorified in this hour. We beseech you. In his name we pray. Amen. In August 1995, the world of sports stopped to watch the return of Mike Tyson into ring, and his fight was against Peter McNeely. If you like boxing, maybe you can remember that. If not, it's still available on YouTube. And they competed for the heavyweight championship. And the fight lasted only 1 minute and 29 seconds. It was quick. 89 seconds. Mike Tyson, like Peter McNeely, actually started very aggressive. And around 20 seconds, Mike Tyson gave him a straight right. And after 1 minute of recovering, he received another uppercut from Mike Tyson. And twice, McNeely was on the floor. His manager then entered into the ring and prevented more damage to his client. He said, okay, fight finished. And they were disqualified, and the victory was awarded to Mike Tyson. If it will be possible, we will see more moves of Mike Tyson in the ring. If that combat of that fight would stand more for longer, more rounds. The story that we are seeing, or the narrative that we are seeing in Exodus, it is not a fair combat. From the beginning, we have said that this is God bringing judgment, punishing, or even strike not only the people in Egypt, but also all their gods. And we have seen that from last week, that when he came and transformed the water of the Nile into blood, it was actually a strike into the gods of Egypt. So every plague that we will see is a strike. And God is making this to happen in order for him to reveal himself to the people of Israel, to Pharaoh, and also to the people of Egypt and to the nations. He could strike Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt in one round. But for us to see all the moves of God, for us to understand who he is, for us to understand his glory, how he manifests, God has ordained 10 rounds in order for us to see who he is. And clearly, in the narrative of the book of Exodus, and in this section, which extends till chapter 10, several times, God would say why he is doing what he is doing. I'll just read quickly 7 places for you to have an idea, and you can note down these passages. Exodus 7:17, the Lord says, "Thus says the Lord, by these, by the plagues, you shall know that I am the Lord." Exodus 8:10, and he said, "Tomorrow," Moses said, "be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God." Exodus 8:22, "But on that day I will set apart in the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Exodus 9:14, "For this time I will send my plagues on yourself and on your servant and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth." Exodus 9:16, "For this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." Exodus 9:29, Moses said to him, "As soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hand to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's." Lastly, Exodus 10, verse 2, "That you may tell in the hearing of your son and in your grandson how I have dealt harshly with Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." All that the Lord is doing right now has to do for us, for Israel, for Egypt, for the nation, to know that the Lord is Yahweh. This is the goal, this is the aim of the plagues. It is a judgment that will reveal who God is. And many of us, we are very uncomfortable when the Bible talks about the judgment of God. But the Bible is, and even God, is not hiding, neither ashamed, to manifest himself as the God that judges. Matter of fact, that's why we have this detailed narrative in the book of Exodus. And my prayer is that as children of the Most High God, we will see the glory of God in and through judgment against evil and evildoers. And that as we see this, we can join the company in heaven and praise God, because his glory, it's always for the good of his people. When God is glorified, his people benefit about that, as we will see as we continue to study the narratives. So my first point this afternoon is that in the acts of judgment, God manifests his commitment to save his people. In the acts of judgment, God manifests his commitment to save his people. And we see this from verses 1 up to verse 7 in chapter 8. You see, God tells the same thing to Moses to say to Pharaoh. Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve him. Although this narrative or this episode is initially structured as the same in the same way from the immediately preceding, meaning the last and the first plague, a new element is introduced in this section here when Pharaoh asks and Moses and Aaron to petition to God to remove the frogs. The expression, let my people go that they may serve him, this is not a call for a free and independent life, neither for the Israelite, neither for us. It is not for us to pursue our happiness or whatever other ends and goals we individually happen to prefer. But the call for the release of the people of Israel is for them to worship and serve God. That's why we have titled the message of Exodus, it is for us to be saved in order for us to worship our God. So we see that God is committed in this narrative to liberate his people from Egypt. And we saw from the previous conversation that he had in chapter 6 with Moses, in the information or the communication that he had for the people of Israel, that he backed up his word of liberating the people of Israel in his name. He says, I am the Lord, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great art of judgment. And this is what we see happening here in verse in this plague as well. So God has committed himself to save his people. And we said before, he is still committed right now to save people, to take them from the dominion of darkness and bring them to the dominion of his son, and to free them from Pharaoh, from the world. And we see that this invitation is for us today as well. God is saying that he is committed to save his people. Brothers and sisters and my friend, if you are here, I need to tell you that our joy and our happiness in this life is not found elsewhere, but in our God himself. Apart from him, we are like fish out of water. We will die. We are just trying life if we don't live to serve God. Man, humanity, is created to live in the presence of God. That's why God is committed to save people. Why? Because you and me, we can only find purpose. We can only find meaning in life if we commit our life to God. And he has done that to us, come to save us in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves us and he wants to save those that trust him. God is committed to save his people. And we see this in this plague again. Secondly, in the act of judgment, God reveals two kinds of hearts: the hearts of Pharaoh and the hearts of Moses. The heart of Pharaoh is of rebellion, but the heart of Moses is of trust and also of obedience. And we will see this from verse 8, which is the very new thing or nuance that this plague presents to us. Let's read again. So when God gave the commandment to Moses, and Aaron operated or executed that commandment, we don't see no word from Pharaoh in the verses that we just read. But for sure, he refuses to let the people go. Why do we say so? Because in verse 2, in the commandment that God was given to Moses, he says, if you refuse, if Pharaoh refuses, then I will plague all the country with frogs. And frogs were all over Egypt. And that also was actually another strike to one of the gods of Egypt, the goddess Hetek or Heket, which was the fertility god and the giver of life according to the Egyptian mythology. God was saying that I have control over the nature, and the frogs that he has called out to invade the land of Egypt was actually another strike to show the Egyptians that only the Lord is God. Verse 8, as I said, Pharaoh then came to his senses, or seems to come to his senses. And he quickly called Moses and Aaron again, and he asked them for prayer, or to pray, for them to pray to the Lord to take away the frog. It is a remarkable event that maybe it's signaling that there is some changes in the heart of Pharaoh. But as we will see, it's not true. Nothing changes in the heart of Pharaoh. But this remarkable request at least teaches us three things. Three things that we can learn from here, revealing the heart of Pharaoh. The first thing is that you see that Pharaoh is calling God by his name. He say, plead with the Lord. Verse 8. Do you remember how this conversation started in chapter 5? Pharaoh challenges and say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? The Lord say, I'm glad you ask. Let's go to the ring and I will show you who am I. And this is what is happening right here. Pharaoh called God by name. Who is the Lord? I am the Lord that controls all the gods of Israel. I am the creator of heaven and earth. I am the one who has sovereign power over nature. And you and your gods doesn't. This is what Pharaoh is learning, or we are learning that he is at least perceiving. Secondly, he learned that God has power over creation, as we said. We see that God, he acknowledged that only God has the power to make that plague to stop the frogs. And thirdly, he knows also what God requires. He wants to trick the people of Israel, as we will see. But in verse 8, he will say that if you do this, if God did this, do that, or does this, I will let the people go to sacrifice God. And Moses answered, and we see that he says, okay, please tell me, when do you want me to pray in order for this plague to stop? I don't know why he says for tomorrow, but this is what the Bible says, that he says tomorrow. But one thing Moses is doing, he wants to make sure that Pharaoh will know that it is God that is in command. He wants to make sure that Pharaoh will say a date, and in that specific date, God will act in order for all glory to be given to the Lord. Are we seeing this? And the next day, we see that Moses prayed, and the frogs the plague has stopped, but the frogs they were killed, And we see that it infestated the land, and the land stank. Brothers and sisters, what can we learn from this portion? Do you see? Pharaoh was not moved in repentance. Pharaoh was not moved because he wanted to know God. Pharaoh was just, he was moved by his own comfort. He didn't want the frogs, and he asked Moses to pray for that. Brothers and sisters, in many of our lifestyle of, in many of us, there is in our flesh that tendency for comfort, that it is really against the knowledge of God. Many of us, we come to God like mercenaries that just want a quick fix from the Lord, just as Pharaoh has done here. In many situations in our life that we are facing, God is using that situation to call our attention to Him, and not only for us to have that situation fixed. Brothers and sisters, instead of Pharaoh asking Moses to pray for God to change his heart, he just prayed for God to take away the things that were inconvenient to him. And just as Pharaoh, if we remain unshakable, immovable, inflexible in our decision to oppose God, which was in him and he didn't give away, we will eventually reap the consequence of our actions. We will be judged for the glory of God. It can happen here in this world or even in eternity. If you are not a believer, God will hand you over. If you don't change your attitude of being against and opposed to God, to Yahweh, God will say, let your will be done. He will hand you over to your evil desire completely. And I'm telling you, you don't want to be in that place. You don't want God to take away his restraining grace so that you and others may fully give way to your sinful passions. That's hell. That's hell. And if you are a believer here, but still opposing God by giving way to flesh, sinning here and there and thinking that God is not seeing, refusing to change your heart when you hear God's word preached unto you, my word to you, my warning to you is that you will lose your effectiveness and also your joy in your Christian walk. And in the future, you may really lose rewards from our God. Our pursuit of holiness today, of aligning our heart to the heart of God, to what he wants from us, will be translated into rewards in eternity. So those who live in defiance like Pharaoh is doing here against God, those who live in defiance of God should realize today that he longs for them to repent. God wants people to repent. You will not win, and you cannot win against God. So the call today is for us to repent and change our heart and not be stubborn like Pharaoh was. The Bible says in Romans 2 that for us not to presume on the richness, on the riches of God's kindness and his patience and his forbearance. Why? Because God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. And actually, God is giving that chance to Pharaoh, but he is just ignoring God's chances or God's patience toward him. Brothers and sisters, friends, today if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Repent and run to Jesus. Pharaoh wants the relief from punishment for his sin without being willing to repent on the sin itself. He was in rebellion against God. But this same episode is changing other person that we see or other character, which is Moses. If Pharaoh hardens his heart, remember where we are coming as we see Moses there. Remember that even in chapter 6, Moses is upset with God. And he puts Pharaoh and God in the same bucket, if you read verse 1 in chapter 6. Moses didn't want actually this mission. But something different is happening in his heart now. There is a depth of trust and obedience that Moses starts to reveal. He says to Pharaoh, just put the date. I will pray and the Lord will do it. What a confidence that Moses had in God. We are seeing that the heart of Moses is learning to trust the Lord and obey him. Brothers and sisters, our effectiveness in our Christian walk relies on our ability to trust the Lord no matter the circumstances of our lives. I don't know what you are facing, but if you are children of the Most High God, know that your Father knows how to take care of you. He is your Father. Trust in Him and obey Him. Be the one that will see the promises of God of delivering you and taking care of you as the foundation for your faith, and trust the Lord in the situation you are. Moses went and prayed. Somehow, Pharaoh knew that access to the power of God is through prayer. And he has requested Moses to pray. Divine intervention would come through a man's intercession. Brothers and sisters, this is the Moses that is gaining knowledge of God by spending time with God, to the point that we will see God testifying of Moses that I speak to my servant as one speak to his friend face to face. Moses is learning to pray in the midst of difficult situation. We don't see actually that commandment from the Lord saying, Moses, ask Pharaoh to set a date. I think that Moses trusted the Lord and went into prayer to ask the Lord to glorify his name. How do I see this? See with me verse 13. So, 12 to 13. So, when Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, Moses did what? Cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he did agreed with Pharaoh. And verse 13 is incredible. Why? We read, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Until here, we see Moses doing according to the word of God. Moses did according to the word of God. But now, the Bible is saying us that the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Is Moses commanding God? Is this what I'm saying? No, completely no. But because he trusted the Lord and he knew who God is, he had confidence that if he went in the presence of the Lord, the word that he has declared to Pharaoh would come to pass. But why? Do you think Moses was praying because of Pharaoh? No. Moses was praying for the glory of God. He is learning that even in that situation, the name of the Lord should be known. The glory of God should be manifested. And we will see this even in chapter 32, chapter 33 of the book of Exodus. When Moses himself is praying to God, show me your glory. When Moses interceding for the forgiveness of the Israelite, he will deal with God, not saying just forgive them for the sake of their forgiveness, but forgive them because your glory will be revealed in your act of forgiveness, of forgiving your people. Moses was all about God's glory. And we also should be all about God's glory. Why do we pray for people to repent of their sins? Why do we need to cry for our beloved ones? It is because by forgiving the sins of men, the name of the Lord is glorified. When God saves, his name is glorified. We have the benefit, but the glory goes to him. We need to be all about the glory of God, just as Moses was. What's happened at the end? We see that instead of really giving in to what God has done by answering his prayer, verse 15 says, but when Pharaoh saw that there were a room, a respite, a relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen them as the Lord has said. Brothers and sisters, once again we see that this is the rebellious heart that Pharaoh is manifesting here. Soon he saw that there was a relief, he hardened again his heart. As I said, many of you may be here just looking for something in your life for God to fix. He has the power to fix that. But instead of us praying that he will fix the problem in your life, our prayer is that he will fix the deeper problem in your life, which is our heart, your heart, that we will really be changed from inside out. He is a good father, and he knows how to take care of his children. Lastly, and this goes to the third plague, the acts of judgment of God are manifested the power of God. And the language that he will use here from verse 19 is, this is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. So we don't know why the author of Exodus, Moses, jumped into the third plague without many details like the other ones. And maybe he wants to avoid repetition. But nevertheless, we have some clues that make us understand what God is doing here. And the main one that we see is in verse 8. The plague of the gnats was performed by Aaron, by the magicians tried by their secret art to produce the same thing, and they could not. Brothers and sisters, Satan's powers is limited. He cannot and have not all the power. We know that he has power, but not all the power. And even the magicians, as the sign and wonder progresses, they are forced to recognize that the events taking place has divine origin. While they initially were able to replicate some supernatural occurrences, we see that in this case, they cannot. And they come and they acknowledge to Pharaoh that this is due to the finger of God. The word that they use there to call God is the general word, Elohim. But I think that they are really referring to God. They could say this is other gods of Egypt, but I think they are recognizing the utmost power that is at work behind these events that they are seeing of judgment in their land. They acknowledge that this is the finger of God. Why do we say that? Because interestingly, Jesus probably alludes to this same expression in Luke 11:20. And this comes in the context that Jesus is being asked to perform a sign from heaven. And the request is not different from what Pharaoh said at the beginning in chapter 7, verse 8. So the power in the ministry of Jesus for him to cast out demons is equated to the power that is at work in the great deliverance performed in Egypt. So just as God dismantled the authority of Pharaoh and his gods and delivered his people so that they will serve him, today in the New Testament, Jesus came to defeat and to destroy all the works of the enemy. And he is inviting us for us to embrace divine rule. The Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that on the cross, Jesus has disarmed the powers and authority, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The Bible says that Jesus, at the cross, he has taken people from the dominion of darkness and brought them into the kingdom of light, his kingdom. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead to destroy the power of death so that we may know that even death cannot get hold of us. And brothers and sisters, this is the judgment that Christ brought into the powers of evil at the cross of Calvary. We all should be glad that God judges evil, because it is the manifestation even of his justice towards us. And we must join those in heaven that are standing and singing praises to God, because one day no more evil will be in the new creation. And the only way that you and me, we have to be partakers or to be included in this new heaven and new earth where no evil will be placed, is if today we come in faith and repentance, believing that Jesus Christ has conquered our redemption at the cross of Calvary. God is able and he is willing to save people from the power of Satan. But we need to respond. Instead of us hardening our hearts as Pharaoh did, instead of us keeping sin secret in our lives, we need to come to Jesus, the one who sets us free and forgives us from all our sins. God is able to redeem his people and to make his own people his dwelling place. Every time that we come on Sunday, every time that we hear God's word, we have this choice: harden our hearts or then give and repent of our sins and accept God's word in our lives. Hardening is almost always connected to the refusal of us listening and obeying God's word. Every time we do that, there is no way that we can be changed. I don't know what is the Lord speaking to you right now, but at the sound of my voice, there is something that the Lord is doing in your life. Repent if you need to repent. Let's ask the Lord for us not to experience just temporary regret from our sins, but true repentance. If God was able to answer the prayer of Pharaoh, he can answer our prayer, isn't it? Let's then pray that he will take us to that place of repentance. Let's pray that he will not only deliver us from the adverse situation of our lives, but he will transform us from inside out in order for us to know him as he really is. Brothers and sisters, at the cross of Calvary, Jesus received the judgment of God as an act of love for you. We should be the ones standing or being on that cross. But our Lord Jesus Christ accepted, received the judgment of God in order for his name to be glorified. And he prayed that the glory that God has given him, he is sharing with us in his prayer in John 17 for us. The work of the Holy Spirit will always remind to those who oppose Christ and his word that they are subjected to God's judgment. And I repeat, if you oppose God, you cannot win, and you will not win. His hand is more powerful than Mike Tyson. He can knock you out straight, but at the same time, he has the hands that protects and saves his people and takes care of his children. That same hand that judge is the same hand that provides and protects as a loving father. Who are you at the end of the age meeting? The one that judges or the one that loves and protects? This is what we need to respond to him today. And this is what we need even as we grow and we go home to bear in our mind so that the name of the Lord will be glorified. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you may teach us to treasure you and to live for your glory. As your children, Lord, we beseech you that you will help us not to harden our hearts, but for us to respond with faith and repentance towards you. So in your power to save, your name may be glorified. Save the lost today, and may your name in our lives be glorified. As we go home and we pray for those that we love that are lost, we pray, Lord, save them. Open their eyes, open their hearts, and may they come to the knowledge, to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to know about Jesus, but to know him as the one who saves. And for us, Lord, May we continue to knowing you, Lord, so that your name will be glorified in our lives, now and forevermore. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.